You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It's Monday. It's December 15th, and the word of the day is persiflage, which means light and slightly contemptuous mockery or banter. Used in a sentence, Anne and I like to do a little persiflage sometimes, but then we both usually take the bit way too far, and the only people who understand us are Marsh and Nicola, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, me and Nicola go all the way to persiflagellation sometimes. It gets rough.
For the record, Marsh and Nicola are very mild for your average British couple. She almost never closes her fist, you know?
I'm Michael Marshall.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's far center and across the pond, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, Kash Patel calls Shotgun.
We will be shocked to find out what a young Nigel Farage thought about the Jews and brown people.
And Eli's a narc about medical marijuana.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
In our lead story tonight, lots of bad stuff going on. Got a fascist lunatic running our country, doing bigot crusades. We're inventing wars to justify war crimes, I think, to justify. It's a confusing one. But also, I'm eating some delightful corned beef from the awesome deli down the street, and I'm not wearing pants right now. It's crazy. I feel like the dog inside the house that's on fire from that meme, but I'm lucky enough to be in the part of the house that's not burning yet. And that's kind of how sanity works right now. We compartmentalize. We can't avoid terrible news entirely, but we get to choose which terrible stuff, at least for the show. And that's why we're going to be talking about our former colleague, Kash Patel, who went from podcasting to running the FBI for Donald Trump. So the fact that Kash Patel has any power whatsoever is insane and terrifying, but Kash is having a really bad time lately, and that is fun. He might be too inept for the Trump administration.
Right? Yeah. I mean, look, the bright side of the decade of parade of horribles that have made up Trump's retinue is that occasionally we get a fun one. Like, you know, Kash Patel or the guy in the claw machine, Ryan Walters. It's like how some of the Cenobites are unintentionally funny. You ever like really watch one of the Hellraiser movies? There's a guy in the back where you're like, okay, well, I would just laugh at you. You're not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say his elevation to FBI director was eye-opening, but Kash Patel's eyes were already the platonic form of open. They do not open further. It's like he has two herniated eyeballs. Like, he needs to smash them against a wall to pop them back in like Mel Gibson's shoulder in Lethal Weapon. It's the only solution.
Okay, so here's how the compartmentalizing happened for me this week. It wasn't easy. So I'm looking for stories of amusing Republican failure, for example, as I'm wont to do. And the first thing I see is a headline that says,
How did the CIA lose a nuclear device? And right under that is a photo of a huge mountain with an arrow pointing at the very top of the mountain. And it says, the CIA lost a nuclear device here. So, a little panicky. And the subheadline says, a plutonium-packed generator disappeared on one of the world's largest mountains in a covert mission that the U.S. will not talk about.
For the last time, sir, we can't blow it up into a new Mount Rushmore with you on it. That's not how any of those things work.
Okay, they're saying they've lost it, but have they tried just following that really big arrow right there that's saying that they lost it here?
Yeah.
Or are they playing without the quest markers turned off just to really show that they know the game?
Yeah. Hard mode, hard mode.
The cartoon arrow made it even crazier. And it's right there, like, so they know it's lost and where it is. Come on. Here's the thing, though. You got to keep reading because headlines are liars.
He says that to me all the time, podcast.
I do. Here's what happened. We lost the nuclear device like 60 years ago, and it's a whole ridiculous farce ever since. So, yeah, this is fine. This is fine. It's going to be a great citation needed episode. But, you know, it's not a brand new plug-and-play nuclear missile that fell off the truck last week, is what I'm saying. And even if it was that, compartments. We're moving on to Cash Patel for today.
And no, podcast listener, that is not going to come up again. I assume Heath is confessing to something, like, later. This is a call forward to his eventual
neither
plan.
Neither confirm just, nor deny.
I don't want you to wait for this to come back around. We are done with the missing nuke.
Or it's Heath asking for help, like, getting an old nuke to work. Because he dropped in that it's not one of the new plug-and-play ones, which means, like, he's asking for the driver CD to be sent to him or something.
I say things too specifically. Okay.
Anyone has the boot disc for...
I'm beeping all this. So Cash was having a pretty amazing 2025. After years of being a conspiracy theorist podcaster, he takes over the entire FBI and he can finally uncover all the deep state secrets like the Epstein files. And then, nope, fuck, gotta lie and protect the boss. That's the order for me. And all his QAnon friends hate him now.
Okay, but you gotta admit, it's pretty fucking funny to spend your life very knowingly lying about the fact that your greatest wish is to take down this elite cabal of pedophiles that you know doesn't actually exist. You're just fucking doing a brand thing. And then you have to work for an actual elite cabal of pedophiles you don't get to talk about. I mean, he must be kicking himself, right? He's just like, oh. Yeah.
Especially when he was like live on Rogan when he found out that Elon Musk had tweeted about Trump being in the Epstein files, which was objectively the funniest place he could have been when that happened, short of him actually being on Epstein Island at the time.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's like Giuliani realizing while speaking at Four Seasons Total.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That the it's a similar moment. It is.
Okay. Well, fast forward to September for Cash, and we get a really big hint that he isn't an idiot. He's actually so much worse. He's an idiot plus worse. On September 10th, some guy was giving a hate speech in Utah and got shot in the neck and died of acute sparkling consequences or something like that. 2 days later, Cash did a press conference to announce the FBI making an arrest, and he closed his remarks by saying, rest now, brother, we have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla, which is exactly the type of thing you might say if you're a giant douchebag who orders bottle service at nightclubs in Vegas where you're a regular and everyone hates you there, and you secretly own a large collection of Ed Hardy shirts. Now, I have no evidence of the Ed Hardy shirts, but yeah, I do. Everything I mentioned, everything I said, I think I do. And all the time spent in Vegas, instead of, you know, at his fucking job in Washington, D.C., is part of the scathing report card that recently came out, written by an alliance of active duty and retired FBI personnel. The 115-page report describes Cash's FBI as, quote, a rudderless ship and, quote, all fucked up.
Okay, spoiler alert, wasting government money to party like a child raised on episodes of Entourage is the best thing that he does with his power and time, however. So
yeah. It's the best thing he could do, given that he's Cash Patel. Yeah. That is the ideal situation. Honestly, this report, it's so good. It's 115 pages. It's worth a skim read for bits of it. One of my favorite parts is where Cash insists that everybody at the FBI change their email signature to plain black with no pronouns and no inspirational quotes. Which,
what?
First of all, that makes me assume that there were a lot of FBI agents with quotes like, if you don't love me at your worst, you don't deserve me at my best kind of things in their signatures.
The FBI,
like pink with hearts and stuff. But then, even better than all of that, Cash, after issuing that decree, himself, he signs off every single one of his emails with #9 because he's the FBI's 9th director. And then every bit of the FBI just openly laughs at him about it, like in the report. It's amazing.
He signs it #9 because he's the 9th. My God. Mm. Okay. Well, another story I enjoyed from that report was just after Cash got confirmed in February and he took over the Bureau. Apparently, he demanded to get issued a gun, even though the FBI director doesn't do, like, action hero raids or any gun needing stuff in general. And considering the fact that he has no experience in law enforcement, the people in charge of the firearms at the FBI had to have a whole discussion about this stupid request from the new boss, and Cash got roasted a bunch during that conversation. Cash heard about that discussion later and he had a big tantrum, and then he demanded polygraph testing to find out who was making fun of him for demanding a gun.
Cash, we're the organization that knows that lie detectors are bullshit. I said hook everyone up to a fax machine and ask him if I'm cool.
Yeah. And while you're at it, go outside and find me a daisy because I want to know if she loves me or she loves me not. What do you mean that's not what a field agent does? What else could field agent mean?
Okay. So there's so much more in this report. It's pretty long. It's 115 pages. But here's my favorite part. This happened the day before Cash's eulogy for the Norse god. The FBI jet arrived in Utah, but Cash forgot to bring his FBI raid jacket. Again, the director does not need that, but he forgot
his. Happens
to
the best of us.
And he refused to get off the plane without having that jacket. So the field office in Salt Lake City, remember, they're conducting a search for a shooter at this moment. They had to stop what they were doing and ask around for a size medium raid jacket that Cash could borrow. And somebody had to deliver the jacket to the plane so Cash could then step off the plane and do a dive roll or whatever the fuck he wanted to do. But the jacket, turns out it was from a female agent, which bothered Cash because he's an idiot, and it didn't have the sweet patches on the upper sleeves like he wanted, so he still wouldn't leave the plane. That's when members of a SWAT team took patches off their jackets and delivered those patches to the plane, and Cash finally disembarked.
Let me smell that jacket. Is that Chanel Winter Constellation? I can't catch terrorists smelling like Chanel Winter Constellation.
Oh, God, it's so ridiculous. There'd be toddlers, like, watching that and saying, just whatever, man. You don't need your favorite jacket. You've got places to go. You've got places to be. Just get over
buckles it. Buckles before juice,
what
man.
What would you
come
say
on.
You do here? Yeah, we also got further confirmation that Cash has been wasting a whole bunch of money flying around the country to attend stupid shit, using a taxpayer-funded private jet. And by stupid shit, I mean, for example, attending performances by his girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, who he calls a country music sensation, like when she was singing the national anthem for a gun rights convention, an NRA convention, or when she was singing the national anthem for Real American Freestyle Wrestling in one of their events in Pennsylvania. Not even the WWE. She's mostly a cover band, I guess, for Francis Scott Key. And during these events, Cash was assigning a SWAT team to protect his girlfriend. He also, by the way, he literally went to a place called the Boondoggle Ranch.
He did go to the Boondoggle
Ranch. He got in trouble for wasting money, and literally one of the places he was going is called the Ranch of the Thing About Wasting Money. It's amazing.
Heath, I was so amazed that Boondoggle Ranch hadn't made it into this story when I read it. Podcast listener,
there's too many stupid things. I forgot to write it in. I just remembered now.
When this happened to Heath, he notified Noah and I like it was a medical emergency. Like we needed to meet him at a nearby hospital to pick up Anne's blood-soaked clothing.
Unbelievable. You can't write it. So a bit of good news, I guess, as a follow-up to that, well, maybe good news. Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee just opened up an investigation into Cash's enormous wasting of
taxpayer money. We'll see how it goes. And just as that investigation was starting, with just beautiful, exquisite timing, we got a report last week about FBI agents being forced to be chaperones for drunken idiot friends of Cash and Alexis's girlfriend. This is real. According to multiple sources within the department, Alexis at least twice asked her FBI security detail that she never should have had to drive home her stupid friend who was all drunk. When the
Amazing.
Professional FBI agents refused to do that because that's fucking stupid, Cash apparently yelled at them and ordered them to give the ride home. So we definitely also paid for at least one vomit cleanup from an FBI vehicle using our taxpayer money.
Can I take off my shoes back here? Or are you going to give me one?
Yeah. Sounds like we also cleaned up some other stuff besides vomit. If I had to
unlock
guess.
My windows.
Did you just shit?
You have to unlock my windows. Okay. It's the law.
So it's not looking great for Cash. Seems like he might get fired, but that would mean the new FBI director would be
number 10.
It would be number 10. It would be another idiot podcaster, Dan Bongino. Fortunately, the FBI still has a few grown-ups who seem to be aware of just how stupid these people are, and they appointed a co-deputy in September whose resume had more than just podcasting on it. I guess that's something. So I'm going to leave you with a relevant quote. This is from a 2023 podcast, actually. The host was talking about then FBI Director Chris Wray and said, "We should ground Chris Wray's private jet travel that he pays for with taxpayer dollars to hop around the country." That was from Cash's Corner, the podcast with Cash Patel. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Quince. Thanks for coming Christmas tree shopping with us, Marsh.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't miss it.
All right, fellas, you ready to go?
Yeah, but Eli, what are you wearing? What is that?
Oh, this? It's my werewolf costume from a couple of years ago.
Oh, I see. And why are you wearing it now?
Okay. I mean, I might not have entirely figured out my winter fit yet, so I was trying this as sort of an option in test flight.
Well, why don't you just try Quince?
What's Quince?
Okay, relax. Quince makes it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup.
Okay, well, how do they do that?
By cutting out middlemen and traditional markups, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price.
Incredible. But have you actually tried it?
I sure have. Quince sent us some stuff to try when they first became a sponsor, and they hooked me up with a great winter coat. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Quince.
All right, Heath, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/skeptocrat for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/skeptocrat. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/skeptocrat.
All right, Heath, thanks.
So are you still going to wear that?
I mean, do you think people would notice?
At the Christmas tree farm? Yeah, man. I think they're going to notice.
Dang.
And we're back. Next up in headlines, in Too Cruel for School news, we've all done things in our past that we're no longer proud of. You know, when we look back with 2020 hindsight of a modern 2025 sensibility. I, for example, I didn't always value empathy and compassion in skepticism prior to, like, 2010, as I do right now. And Eli, for example, has the first 5 or 6 years of his podcasting career that he'd rather you didn't go back and listen to. And Heath used to have some pretty offensive views about Flight 93 last week, I think.
I like flights that don't get shot down, whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Get good.
And look, you can listen to the first 5 years of my podcasting if my growth as a person makes you admire me even more. But only if you're into growth.
Okay. You kind of sandbagged that bar so you could get some growth.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's
growth
about
is growth.
Most
That's
improved.
All that matters. Yep.
Most improved on the podcast. You haven't changed at all.
My point is...
I don't know
what
the fuck Marsh is talking about. He's always been like this.
We've all grown.
I have a ribbon.
We've all grown. We've all learned. You know, if you dig back far enough into anyone's past, you're going to find the odd small thing that they are no longer happy to say truly represents them. And take, for example, Reform UK leader and man who wants us to assume he's going to be the next Prime Minister in about 4 years or so, Nigel Farage, who has completely unfairly had to answer for the beliefs that he held in his youth. We're talking late teens here, so long ago. This all started when The Guardian published an allegation in November that while a teenager at the elite private school, Dulwich College, Nigel Farage said and did some things that, yes, to a person in 2025, might have looked a little racist and anti-Semitic.
Yeah, like attending an elite British prep school. Yeah.
But, like, oh, come on, that was 40 years ago, and Nige wants us to bear in mind that there's just no public interest in digging up anything embarrassing about the leader of a political party that's currently heading up the polls in my country.
Are there people who thought Nigel Farage wasn't racist? What else is supposed to be motivating him in his politics? They think he was attacked by the value of the British pound as a child? Yeah, in a public park?
This is like uncovering an old Instagram photo of Al Jolson on Halloween wearing an offensive costume that day. Right? Like, all right.
So Farage, look, he categorically denies saying anything racist or anti-Semitic. So it really is just a case of his word against, you know, whoever's making this allegation, which initially was more than a dozen of his former schoolmates. Plus also one of the teachers from Dulwich College at the time, who wrote to the headmaster in 1981 that the 17-year-old Nigel Farage, quote, publicly professed racist and neo-fascist views. But, like, come on. Boys will be boys. That's just banter. And, in fact, that's what Farage himself said once it was clear that the things he'd literally just denied ever happening definitely did actually happen.
Kind of switched it up.
Yeah. When he found out that, okay, you do know those happen now, Nigel said, quote, have I said things 50 years ago that you could interpret as being banter in a playground, that you could interpret in the modern light of day in some sort of way? Yes. But I've never directly racially abused anybody. No, I would never, ever do it in a hurtful or insulting way. Close quote.
Okay. As someone who is just any amount of people who knew me in high school doing the exact same thing to him, that's way too many words for why you bringing up old shit, Nigel. You got a duck, my man.
Yeah.
You got a duck.
So look, just calm down, everybody. We're only talking about indirect racially yeah, abusive right. banter,
such
but importantly,
phrasing.
it's indirect racially abusive banter of the non-hurtful and non-insulting kind.
Also, now I'm pretty sure you were directly abusing black people, but not racially, at least in your head. So, like, crazy phrasing.
Yeah, I mean, if you aren't quite sure what that could possibly include, fortunately, we've had a lot of people come forward to offer direct quotes from a young Nigel Farage. Those include his contemporary...
What's wrong with all of you?
These include his contemporary at Dulwich, Peter Ettergy, who recalled being a young Jewish student when Farage sidled up to him to growl, Hitler was right, and gas them all, and then doing a long hiss sound to simulate the sound of gas showers.
Yes.
So, you know, good, clean, indirect, non-personal racial banter there.
The point is, Peter bringing up old shit, I'm not a Holocaust denier. You're welcome. I'm not denying it at all.
Well, you didn't do the delivery also. It doesn't make any sense without doing the delivery. You didn't get the laugh. So obviously it sounds mean when you don't get the laugh.
Yeah, it's not the only thing that can sound mean because so many other of his schoolmates recall Farage leading sing-alongs of Hitler Youth songs, including the song, quote, gas them all, gas them all, gas them all, and into the showers they crawl. We'll gas all the N-words, we'll gas all the Jews. Come on, you lads, gas them all. And he sang that while doing Nazi salutes and shouting Sieg Heil and singing about being part of the British National Socialist Movement, which was a song, BM, BM, we are the British Nazi men, unquote. Okay.
Horrifying. You obviously can't set up a rhyme in your AB line and then just abandon it in your C. That's insane. It's insane.
chant just keeps like landing badly and fizzling because the rhyme's all fucked up. You got, they're got, come back, guys, come on, we're doing our Nazi chants. And then it's just young Nigel, he's weeping, fucking Jews rhyme with nothing. Bullshit.
Is everyone taking immaculate notes on this behavior? Stop.
And look. Stop. Who amongst us didn't spend our school days doing exactly the same? You know, I remember what it was like. Every recess in the playground, you and your friends, you'd play Nazis. And the most popular kid, he'd get to pick Hitler. And then you'd be left arguing over who gets to be Goering and who gets to be Himmler. And then the shyest of us were left having to accept being the Mengele role. It was a whole Donatello situation all over again.
Nice try, Marsh. Mengele was the only way you could say how you truly felt about people with cerebral palsy, and you know it.
Okay, what a hilarious long-running bit you've created, Eli. Thank you for that.
Don't worry, I've been muting most of what he said so far.
If I knew how to spell cerebral palsy, I would already own the website, but I don't.
So Farage continued to deny that any of that constituted racial harassment. That's just kids being kids. It's harmless banter. It's not directed at anyone in particular, and especially not the Jewish kid whose ear he was gas hissing into at the time. But the more he denied it, the more of his classmates came forward. And the last count, it was 28, which has to be a sizable percentage of his class given how small and elite his private school was. 28 kids is so many of the kids there. And the latest recollections being how Farage was incensed by how his class yearbook contained more pupils with the surname Patel than the surname Smith, including Farage interrupting school assemblies to shout aggressively each time the name Patel was read out. So, you know, it's all just normal future leader of the country kind of stuff.
Okay, I would pay any amount of money to be there, though, for them to be like, Patel. No!
Yeah, I think it was more like, boo, every Patel that came up.
Mountbatten! Yeah. Tomlington Smythe! Fuck, pass! I couldn't think of another one in time. Farage, shit.
Yeah.
Obviously. So stupid.
All this came to a head last week, actually, in a press conference where Farage thought the best form of defense here was attack, which, you know, classic Nazi stuff. So first, he told the BBC that if they were offended by what he said in the 1980s, then he was offended by some of the racist and homophobic tropes that were common in BBC sitcoms of the time, actually. So maybe he should have an apology from the BBC for that. And then he turned on BBC's rival broadcaster, ITV, on the other side, pointing out that they spent the 1980s platforming the notoriously racist comedian and man that literally nobody has thought about in 30 years, a guy called Bernard Manning. And you might think, you know, arguably, it's unwise for Farage to try and fight on two fronts at the same time like that. But again, classic Nazi.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to invade Russia in the winter.
It's a land war in Asia. It's going to go great.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be brilliant. Don't let Farage anywhere near Asia, given what he's already said about many parts of the world.
For
bad.
A lot of reasons.
It's going to go bad. Like, honestly, it remains to be seen whether any of this is going to have any effect on anything at all, even though it really obviously fucking should. Like, reform, it's taken a bit of a hit in the polls during this, but we are still 4 years away from the next election, and voters have got very short memories. And again, very little of this is actually new. These are allegations. Even the Hitler Youth stuff are allegations that have followed Farage around for his whole career and done very little to affect his rise to power. But then again, saying Hitler was right and I am a British Nazi is a pretty clear message, and one that hopefully is going to be pretty hard for him to shake. And fingers crossed, by the time the next election does come around, backing reform will just be another one of those things people look back on in their youth and regret.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they know that BM is bowel movement and they had a shit song about themselves?
That's a great question. Yeah.
We should ask him. We should ask him that.
And in scary Mandarin news, get your nets for some airborne bacon, because this week, Republican members of the Indiana Senate joined Democrats in voting down a new congressional map that would have gerrymandered the fuck out of their state in Republicans' favor. So, you know, quick before I wake up, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's time to take the high road, Republicans. I have so much respect for you. Keep taking the high road.
Right. So for those of you unfamiliar, starting earlier this year and with increased urgency after lots of losing in the elections last month, Republicans have been doing their best to redistrict their states to squeeze as many congressional seats out of their dwindling base as possible.
Yeah, I think in the latest proposal, Mar-a-Lago somehow gets 2 seats even.
Yep, no, it does. It does. And if you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, Eli, I thought that kind of redistricting was only allowed every decade or so, depending on the state, you would be right. But Republicans are worried they're going to lose elections sooner than that, so they're just fucking doing it anyways, starting in Texas, but they quickly found their colleagues aren't all on board. A similar attempt to redistrict in Kansas just failed, making this just the latest in a string of failed attempts to cheat.
Yeah, apparently everyone read the Butter Battle book by Dr. Seuss, and they were like, arms race, fuck yeah, this is about an arms race that we should do. And okay, like, I know that's not the lesson from the doctor, but the Zooks were the ones who started it. That matters, right? I feel like that matters.
Yeah, and then a bunch of the Ukes decided they just weren't inspired enough by the anti-Zook arguments and couldn't get out to vote. And then the Zooks fell for propaganda about the Uke candidate. It was butter emails.
There it is. Worth the whole shit. And the program there. We're not doing better. We're not doing better than butter. If this isn't the butter emails edition, Heath Enright, we don't deserve. We don't deserve, yeah. Marsh.
Mwah.
And look, people have been falling all over themselves when reporting this story to praise Republican lawmakers who joined with Democrats to stop this thing. And excuse me for my pessimism, but I just don't buy that the Grinch's heart has grown by 3 sizes. I think these Republicans quite rightly see that some Democrats are now as willing to play dirty as they've been playing for the last few decades. And in a gerrymandering arms race, you end up with just democracy again, which again is very bad for Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much more that these Republicans know they're about to start losing badly and you don't rip up the rule book right before your opponent has their turn.
Yeah. Also, I don't think anti-democracy gets doubled to make democracy again. But okay, a block of Republicans definitely realized that gerrymandering can backfire, especially when it might be your opponent's turn coming up soon, like Marsh said, yeah. And I think a bunch of them realized that Trump is a lame duck. I don't know why it took so long to realize that, but they realized that and they want to maybe keep their jobs longer than one more term. Also, Mike Pence is friends with a bunch of these people as the former governor of Indiana, and I'm guessing he told these people to, like, you know, vote for the opposite of the guy who almost got me hanged. Whatever he wants, do the opposite.
Yeah.
And I, like, whatever works, I'm cool with it.
Exactly, yeah. Look, I'm glad this failed. I'm glad it makes Trump look bad and Republicans look weak. But as far as representing a larger anti-Trump tide within the party that restores civility and humanity to politics the way it keeps being sold, I don't plan on holding my breath. And speaking of nostalgia for a better time, let's take a quick break for a word from our next sponsor this week, Aura Frames. Come on.
Eli, what are you doing in my room? Read the sign. Come on.
Sorry, Heath. This is an emergency.
I don't believe you. What's the emergency? What is it?
I didn't get anything for Marsh for St. Frampton's Day.
For what?
I don't know. St. Frampton's Day. He mentioned it casually just now. There's got to be something in your room I can give him last minute.
Okay, first of all, stop. Second of all, why not try an Aura Frame? It's the perfect last-minute gift that's still totally thoughtful.
What's an Aura Frame?
It's a digital picture frame that holds unlimited videos and photos for anyone in your life. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi.
I don't know, Heath. I don't think they even have apps in England.
They do. But you don't have to be tech savvy to enjoy an Aura Frame. You can set it up while it's still in the box, so all they have to do is plug it in. You can even customize the welcome message.
Why, that's perfect!
Sure is. And for a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code Skeptocrat at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Skeptocrat. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Heath, thanks.
Hey, guys, are you...
Nothing, I have to use the computer.
Marsh, did you make up a holiday?
Oh, a bunch, yeah, a bunch.
Smart, nice. And we're back.
Next up in headlines, in Ouroboros news.
Excellent.
The Trump administration ate its own leopard face and jumped up its own leopard ass all at the same time last week in a giant Ouroboros of stupid. It all starts with Yana Leonova, a spy working for the Kremlin, who managed to steal about $2 million worth of American aviation equipment from Ukraine and smuggle it into Russia. Eventually, she got arrested while visiting France, and American federal prosecutors spent the last year finally getting her extradited here to face criminal charges. But just as the case was starting this month, ICE decided she's an illegal immigrant and they're trying to have her deported.
All right, lady, we're going to stand on this side of the road and have a big bus pass by. You better be there when it's over, all right? I want to see.
Yeah, but there is no way that lady isn't going to then steal that bus and smuggle it to Russia, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently the extradition, it only comes with 2 weeks of legal residence in the U.S. You get a 2 week imprisonment visa, apparently. Meanwhile, ICE is trying to hit their insane deportation quota from Stephen Miller, who looks like a kid with leukemia whose neo-Nazi make-a-wish was immigration czar, and he got that job. So they're just popping up names on their badly written SQL program from their stupid database and abducting people without consulting any of the other law enforcement bodies. In the case of Leonova, they issued a deportation order that might get executed at any moment, we don't know, and federal prosecutors on the criminal espionage case can't even get a response from ICE about calling a timeout while they do their thing.
You're getting your black bag fascism in my black bag spy stuff, and they're different.
Okay, but can we just convince them that, like, as with all illegal immigration, the real criminals are the people traffickers who keep enabling it, and then you can get ICE to plan a big op against federal prosecutors and just keep everyone occupied that way.
Ooh, yeah.
I like the idea of getting them to fight each other,
yeah,
for sure. Fascism eats fascism, yeah. I do want this prosecution, though. I want the Russian spy to get in trouble. So.
It's like the Mexican guy who drives around Chicago on a bus and then runs away from ICE, but he has his birth certificate with him. It's like that, but for a political party.
Okay, so in response to this insanity, the judge who's dealing with the trial issued a written order to ICE that said, "What the fuck are you doing?" Or in more sophisticated language, he called the whole thing Kafka-esque, which is very accurate, and said, quote, "Indeed, it is both preposterous and offensive for the government to bring someone into the United States against their will and then turn around and seek ICE detention because that person is here illegally," in quotes. The government needs to decide what its priorities are, ginning up deportation stats or prosecuting alleged criminals.
Okay, but this actually could be the solution everyone's looking for, though. Because ICE wants to have high deportation figures, and the rest of the country wants them to leave people alone. But if America just declares itself an international criminal court, they can bring in criminals from all over the world and then deport them, and their deportation figures will look massive. And then they can actually shortcut the whole thing by just skipping that flight step and just declare anybody who gets convicted of a crime anywhere else in the world to have been preemptively deported and then add them to the numbers.
Great way to help the stats, yeah. It's like Doge's wall of like preemptively canceled savings that they did.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, fun fact, you haven't heard a lot about Doge recently, right?
Mm.
Fun fact, Doge, they weren't very efficient, it turns out, and they got disbanded last month. It's the best.
I'm in a text thread with Elon, so I hear about it a lot. I know you guys aren't, so...
And in Truss Falls news, often when political leaders leave office, they go on to great things. You know, Tony Blair became the UN special envoy to the Middle East.
Crushing it. Mm.
Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg became the Vice President of Global Affairs and Communications at Facebook. David Cameron answered the call of public service by becoming Foreign Secretary under Rishi Sunak. And Margaret Thatcher also answered the call of public service by dying and then rotting in the mud in a pine box in arguably her best work.
Yeah, she's a very important musical muse for Liverpool. She invented that helmet. That was cool.
That's true, yeah.
And she ruined Andy Murray's Wimbledon-winning party in 2013, which first British guy in like almost 100 years, right, to win?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
very much so. Because 2 months ago, the Margaret Thatcher death party was still going. That's funny.
But one former PM has set a new bar for career post Downing Street, with the news this week that Liz Truss has followed up her iconic vegetation-defying stint in Number 10 by becoming a podcaster. That's right. You guys, you both have a career that world leaders aspire to. You can be proud of that. Last week, Liz Truss hit YouTube in a launch video titled The Liz Truss Show, The Home of the Counter-Revolution, which was watched by over 11,430 viewers in just 6 days.
Oh, Liz.
11,431, in fact. So it was only just over that number. The new channel.
Do you want to do a guest spot on Scam?
Oh, God, get her for a guest spot on Scam. That'd be amazing. She's
genuinely
gettable.
A significantly larger show than hers. She should be grateful for the invite.
We're going to do Diana the Musical. Huh?
Yes.
How is Diana the Musical?
Perfect.
So her new show, it promised, quote,
Marsha's on that episode with.
Oh, God, it'd be so good.
Seething hatefully, refusing to talk about the movie.
Are you kidding? I would love to have a conversation with Liz Truss on your show. I would love
Do you promise to keep it to Diana the Musical?
I think I could get enough Diana in and just like edge in a few other things around the edges that I think would make it a lot.
Speaking of death.
I think Marsha and Liz would be agreeing about that deep state story about Diana, wouldn't they?
There we go.
So Liz Truss, her YouTube channel, it promised a bold new program in a media landscape dominated by groupthink and timid consensus and unapologetic debate, fierce defense of Western values, and straight-talking discussions about the future of Britain and the free world.
So what you're saying here, Marsh, is that Heath and I have significantly better odds of being prime minister than we thought. I mean, just numbers
That's
alone.
Exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, arguably better odds than she ever had, and she somehow made it. So, yeah, 100%.
I could tousle my hair.
So what viewers actually got from the show was the former leader of this country giving MAGA-light monologues about American culture war talking points before interviewing one right-wing grifter after another as she practically twerked for American Christian nationalist billionaire dollars.
Okay, I mean, that's a tried-and-true formula. Worked great for Piers Morgan. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Also, they
can she throw it in a circle like he can? Because he can throw it in a circle.
Can she ask important, inquisitive questions to Nick Fuentes? That's the important
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Also, they got all of that an hour later than planned because all of her promo material promised a 6 p.m. release time and it just didn't show up on time to the point where her fans were on Twitter blaming the deep state for suppressing her. And the show eventually underwhelmed its way into existence an hour late at 7 p.m.
No, it's tricky. Libsyn does that military time thing, Liz. We've all been there. We've all made that mistake.
Just the deep state watching it go out late by an hour. Nailed it. Controlling the world. Awesome.
Still, you know, it's something to look forward to every week. Also, if you don't trust the big tech deep state that runs YouTube to handle her truth bombs about, like, without censorship in any way, don't worry, because she also proudly announced that episodes will be released each week across all major platforms, including YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Substack, X, and X Radio, whatever that last one is, Liz Truss is going to be there. And if you were wondering, her most recent video with Steve Bannon was viewed by 762 people in its first 2 hours. So, given those kind of numbers, I wouldn't go betting this is going to be a long-term project. I think we're about a fortnight away from getting that letters back out of retirement.
A lot of those 762 were Steve's friends from cell block D or wherever he was.
Yeah, no.
Lock up.
You should. We put it on the break room TV, too, so these people should all count. And finally tonight, in dubious evidence news.
Nice.
You know, being a skeptic most of the time, it's actually pretty Skibidi, Ohio. It's a straight up aura farm.
Okay.
No cap.
Please stop that. Please stop.
But there are a few wooey subjects that are admittedly less fun to cover. The medical abuse of children is one, facilitated communication, or as the people know it, Marsh's white hot hatred of people with cerebral palsy is another.
Okay. You know what? I actually prefer that as a bit to you speaking like a youth from before. So yeah.
Maybe I can do both. Both at the same time. But of course, one of my personal favorites is medical marijuana. And this week, we got yet another blacklight nail in PuffMed's coffin as yet another meta-analysis shows that medical cannabis, has very little benefit.
Yes, it does have benefit, you fucking narc. You fucking narky narc and the fucking funky bunch. It's an excuse for the drug that we want that's not as bad for you as alcohol a lot of the time. So, okay. Yes, it does.
Sure. Now, I want to get a caveat out of the way right here at the start. The article is about medical cannabis you buy at a dispensary, not cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are the medicines we've made out of cannabis that help with chemotherapy-related nausea, stimulate the appetite of patients with debilitating illnesses like HIV or AIDS, and ease some pediatric seizure disorders. Those work great, which is why we made them into medicine. But to confuse that with medical cannabis is like saying aspirin works, so it's perfectly fine for me to gnaw on a willow tree outside my house every time I have a headache.
That is fine. What is with you today?
I mean, look, yeah, it is fine to do that. It's not going to help, but I don't think legally anyone's going to stop you gnawing on a willow tree like that. I mean, okay, maybe a dentist would have a go at you for doing it, but I still think they'd prefer you to do that over keeping on drinking those mango nectar drinks. So yeah, go ahead,
okay,
do it.
That's fair. That's fair. They have said that. And look, whenever you point out the lack of verifiable evidence for this stuff, people will tell you that they used medical cannabis to treat their pain during cancer or anxiety or depression, etc. But the point of this study is that medical cannabis is worse at treating those things than other medicines. Like, I am so incredibly happy if medical cannabis helped your pain when you had cancer, but the numbers indicate that there are other treatments that would have helped you more. Like, I don't want to take your weed away. I want you to have all the weed you want. I just want you to have legitimate medicine for your pain while you're high.
Well, Eli Sackler over here just okay. peddling some stuff. Okay.
One more thing about this story, lightly touched on by my co-host, because I understand it's a bummer to rain on the parade of anything that anyone thinks helped them, especially if they think it helped them with their, you know, insomnia or their PTSD or whatever. But it's also important to point out that these waters are tremendously muddied by the United States' war on drugs, right? If recreational cannabis were legal, a tremendous amount of people who help themselves relax at the end of the day with a joint wouldn't have to do it by justifying it medically. And the fact that medical cannabis was the only legal way to enjoy it for such a long time is a huge part of the problem. And while legalization has made huge strides over the past decades, there are still people getting arrested and thrown in jail for smoking weed every day, and we need to acknowledge that as an ongoing harm as well. So, yeah. Sorry to end on kind of a bummer note here.
Why do you want babies with cancer to have painful seizures, Eli?
But, just a reminder, it is
answer
completely
the question.
Okay for you to smoke weed. I want the babies to have the weed. I'm a podcaster, and a tremendous amount of my business model is based on you having marijuana. I don't want to take your marijuana. But we can't pretend it's medicine because we care about the people who are trying to treat very real medical problems with it.
Also, sometimes it's medicine. And on that note...
Come on, Mark! I got nothing from that. Hold on. Oh, you wait until I get Nano Banana. You yummy Nano Banana.
Thanks to Michael Marshall. Thanks to Eli Bosnick.
How you spell
and
cerebral palsy?
Thanks to all the listeners
looking it up.
Who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening. And please keep telling your friends. That's so helpful. People actually might listen to a new podcast if somebody they know says it. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Taciturn Wasabi. That's an awesome name. Philip Finn, Andrew Thomas, Mark, Sharon Hogan, Melissa Hallam, Jenmu Level 10 or Roman numerals 5560? That's weird. Okay. Jenmu LVLX, The French Pickler, Audrey McDaniel, Ichi Bento, Rory Shields, Frank F.R. Martinez, Cybjorn, Kimberly Budd, Rebecca Lasley, Wieners of the World, Trier of Pods, Ollie, and the Office of Arbitrary and Capricious PC, there is no legal, there is only Zool. You all are that awesome softness feeling on the inside of a new sweatshirt of people. And we love you.
That's a good feeling.
It's the best. And we don't
We don't want to wash you. I mean, we get that you'll have to wash us, but we don't want to wash.
I'll wash some of you.
We'll wash some. Apparently, we'll wash some of you.
Send Heath Bix.
What's happening?
We'll tell
right
you
now
if we wash you.
And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people. If you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. And if you'd like to hear more Marsh, what do you think, Marsh? Where should they go?
Oh, you want to go to the No Rogan Experience at norogan.com and hear me and Cecil taking a look at getting to know Joe Rogan. And you can also go to the Skeptics with a K podcast for original skeptical journalism that we do over there.
Excellent. And we just have one last thing. Let's compliment that penist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. Marsh, seriously, your banter with Nicola, the two of you, the banter you do is
it's
so
delightful.
Fucking good.
It's delightful.
It's so good that the first time Anne experienced it, Anne was just like, oh my God, they're so good at banter. I love it so much. She was so excited. It was like that meme, your banter with Nicola was like the hot lady walking past me and Anne was like ogling it. And I was just like, come on, really? We do banter.
No, I appreciate you saying, and I appreciate you waiting till Nicola's gone to say it as well, because I'll just never tell her that you think that about her, and she'll never,
yeah, no,
ever know. I'll just carry that myself, not for her. Yeah.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.